Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for meditation this morning comes from the Gospel according to St. John, the 20th chapter, where we read, Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, I have seen the Lord. As I mentioned earlier, you're probably wondering, why in the world are we celebrating the festival of St. Mary Magdalene? Well, over the centuries, the Christian Church has set aside specific dates to remember certain persons and events that were significant in the proclamation of Christ's gospel. We can learn and be encouraged by their teaching, by their proclamation, and by their faithfulness. Before I go any further, I do want to assure you, we do not worship St. Mary Magdalene, nor do we venerate her. That would be idolatry. We do not pray to the saints. As Lutheran Christians, the object of our love and our worship is the same as the object and the love of that of Mary Magdalene and the other saints. And that would be in Jesus Christ, who came to rescue mankind from their sins. Over the centuries, many writers and theologians have portrayed Mary Magdalene as the bad Mary, in contrast to the good Mary, Mary the mother of Jesus. Mary Magdalene has been depicted as a prostitute, a psychic, a woman with a romantic crush, and several other less than saintly qualities. But when you search through the scripture, I think she's mentioned, her name is in there maybe 12 times, or she's mentioned 12 times, none of these things are true. What makes Mary significant and why we remember her this morning is she was faithful Mary. Scripture doesn't say if Mary was married or single, but some suggest that the Old Testament lesson that we read, Proverbs 31, embodies Mary. It describes her life. Before meeting Jesus, she was possessed by seven demons. But Jesus cast out those demons, and going forward, Mary's life was taken over by the Holy Spirit, granting her peace, granting her faith in Jesus. At one time, you and I were possessed. I don't know if you caught that in the baptismal rite this morning, because it was before baptism, before the Holy Spirit brought you to faith in the preaching of God's word. You were born into sin, meaning you were a member of the devil's kingdom, his kingdom of darkness. But in the life-saving waters of holy baptism, you, just like little Connor a little bit ago, you renounce the devil and all his works and all his ways. Like Connor, you were likely marked with the sign of the cross, marking you as one redeemed by Christ the crucified. In Jewish culture 2,000 years ago, it was unusual for a woman to travel around following a rabbi. But Mary Magdalene and a few others who had been healed of evil spirits and other infirmities, they clung to Jesus, following him and his disciples, and they provided for them out of their own means, Scripture says, meaning out of their own pocketbooks. They funded the ministry. Clinging Mary, by faith, held fast to every word that came from her teacher's mouth, and that word changed her. Jesus' word gave her hope. His word gave her strength for her faith. In the days leading up to his crucifixion, Jesus taught his disciples many things, including, I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit, for apart from me, you can do nothing. You are gathered this morning because you abide in Jesus. Like Mary, you cling to Jesus. When the branch abides in the vine, and when you cling to Jesus, you continue to grow in Christ. His word changes you as it did Mary. It makes you even more faithful. Your faith is nourished and strengthened, and you are able to bear much fruit, the fruits of repentance, fruits of righteousness, and of service. She is faithful Mary, faithful in service, both physically and financially, supporting Jesus' proclamation of God's plan for salvation. Faithful Mary, following God's only begotten Son to the cross, watching him be crucified viciously, watching him being taken down as the nails were pulled back out through his flesh. Faithful as she went to watch him laid to rest in a tomb. Faithful as the stone covered the entrance. She was faithful to return on Easter morning because she had in plan to anoint Jesus' body. She was faithful, unlike those disciples who quickly scattered and were hiding out in fear. Now, to be sure, faithful Mary does not mean sinless Mary. The Bible doesn't say why exactly Mary was possessed by these seven demons, but perhaps her greatest sin was she was slow to believe all that the prophets had written about Jesus. She, just like the disciples, was slow to believe everything that Jesus had taught about his coming death and resurrection. The gospel writers record that the angel told Mary inside the tomb that Jesus had risen from the dead just as he said. But even after the angel told Mary he is not here but has risen, she still concluded that someone had stolen Jesus' body. Like you and I, like you and I, faithful Mary was both sinner and saint. You too hear the promises of God that he will abide with you, that he will be with you, never leaving you nor forsaking you to the very end of the age. But you don't believe his promises. You don't seek his kingdom first. You seek your own kingdom, saving up your treasures that easily disappear. You think your plan is better than God's plan, serving yourself instead of serving others. And as a matter of fact, you and I preserve to serve apart from the body of Christ, spending tithe dollars any way we wish. After rising from the dead, our Lord and Savior chose to appear to Mary Magdalene first. In our text, faithful Mary gives way to anxious Mary, and then to frightened Mary, and finally, weeping Mary. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?" Supposing him to be a gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Now, it was not unusual that Mary did not immediately recognize Jesus. Even those who knew him best did not immediately recognize him after the resurrection until his word was made known to them. But then Jesus spoke to Mary, not as the gardener, but as her teacher. And Mary knew that she had seen the Lord. Her emotions went from rock bottom to heaven high. And you can imagine what it would be like to see the one you loved raised from the dead. You would want to grab him and hug him and hold on. But Jesus said to her, "Do not cling to me, for I have not ascended to the Father. But go to my brothers and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." You see, after the resurrection, the relationship had changed. It was no longer teacher and faithful pupil. As Savior of mankind, Jesus must ascend into heaven, assume full power and unlimited use of his divine majesty and power. As faithful Mary had served Jesus during his earthly ministry, he had this one last task for her. Go, tell my brothers, give them the news. It's the first time in Scripture that Jesus calls the disciples his brothers. Their relationship had also changed. Jesus knew their hearts. He wasn't ashamed that they went and hid. Even though they did go and hide shortly after he was arrested on the night he was betrayed. But Jesus considers them his brothers. That's who Jesus is. That's what he does. He forgives. He forgets. He doesn't hold a grudge. Later that night, Jesus appeared to all of the disciples except for Thomas, the doubter. 8 days later, Thomas also saw the Lord, and he believed. And Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and have yet believed." Brothers and sisters in Christ, you were born as a child of the devil. You were born an enemy of Christ, but in the waters of holy baptism, your relationship changed. In the washing of the water with the word, you were baptized into Jesus' death. At the font, God called you out of the darkness of Satan's kingdom into his marvelous light. Jesus marked you with a family name. He named you Christian. You are now a child of God. A child of God means you are a brother of Christ. St. Paul writes, "If we have died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we deny him, he will deny us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself." Jesus revealed himself to Mary in his word. Unlike Mary and the disciples, you have not physically seen the body of our resurrected Lord with your eyes, but you see him through the eyes of faith. Faith as he is revealed to you in his word and his sacrament, which also has his word attached. You have seen the Lord. When you confess your sins, you know that Jesus is faithful. He's faithful to forgive you of all your sins and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. When you hear the word of holy absolution, you know that you receive the forgiveness of Jesus as if he was standing here forgiving you himself. When you hear the proclaimed gospel, you don't hear the preacher, you hear the word of God. When you receive his body and blood by faith, you're faithfully proclaiming the Lord's death until he comes again. Mary Magdalene was known for her faithfulness and her service to Jesus. She saw the resurrected Christ with her own eyes. But until the Lord returns on the last day, you and I will not see his body with our eyes. Yet you do see him with eyes of faith. And by the power of the Holy Spirit, you can now go tell your friends and your relatives and the whole world that you have seen the Lord. You have seen the one who has come to give his life to save you of your sin, set you free from the death, from the threat of the death and devil. Christ has come for you. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.